This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
You seem to be really on me today.
Huh? Do you honestly think that this show would be half as entertaining as it is if I just sat down and went,
I agree with everything you say, Doc.
Make my life a lot easier.
Well,
it
I'm not here
would.
To make your life easy.
Why not? Isn't that in a contract somewhere?
Class is in.
Rock School is on the air, or in your podcast, whichever, one of the two of them. Technology's getting away from me because I'm old. I'm Joe Burns. Who are you?
Chad P., man.
Oh, wow, brother Rock.
I'm playing character for the show topic today, man. Do you know what we're talking about, man?
I grew up through the 70s, brother, and I don't remember anybody that spoke like this except Cheech and Chong.
You always make fun of the way I speak. I spoke British last week, and you said it wasn't real British.
Well, you mean
to tell me there wasn't anybody in the 70s that didn't talk like that, man?
Cheech and Chong. Cheech and Chong and people who were trying to sound like Cheech and Chong.
Whatever. I used to have a listener on this radio station, and his nickname was Aerostar, and he was a hippie from the 70s, and that's exactly how he talked.
All right, fair enough. So, Aerostar, thanks for listening.
He's listening, too.
Hearing Chad speak that way. All right. Here's where this came from. When I was a disc jockey, a full-time disc jockey, I believed every song had a story. And when I jocked, I used to love telling the stories and the backgrounds of songs and where they came from, which is what kind of set me up for doing Rock School.
You think every song has a story?
Every single song
every
has a story.
Every single song.
Oh, yeah. Even if it's a piece of bubblegum pop horse manure, it has a story behind it. I believe that.
Man, that's a strong...
Oh, I guarantee it. Furthermore, I was trolling around eBay, and I found almost the entire set of Have a Nice Day songs from the 70s. Oh, it's a fantastic collection.
I didn't know there was
like
such a set.
26 CDs. I didn't get the whole set, but almost everything. I got it for a pittance, too. I mean, a song, a dance, and a chicken. It was fantastic. I mean, almost the shipping cost me more than to get these CDs here.
I can't believe you parted with one of your chickens.
I did, yes. Little lovely Lulu. She's gone. I think she's already been dinner. But I got these, and I thought, I'm going to grab songs that we haven't played before, and I'm going to tell the story behind them.
Rock School.
Every song has a story.
I don't know, dude.
And besides, I'm into these CDs right now.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yep.
Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky. Norman Greenbaum admits, I am Jewish, and I wrote a religious song about Jesus.
What? You can't
do that. Well, okay. Here's what happened. Here's the story behind it. Norman Greenbaum says he set out to write a religious rock song. However, he wrote it to the Jewish word for God. Jehovah. However, Jehovah is three syllables, Jehovah.
And not too many words probably rhyme
with
Jehovah.
Jehovah, right. The thing is, Jehovah didn't fit rhythmically in the song. You got a friend in Jehovah. It didn't fit.
Well, if Barry Gibb wrote it, it would fit.
It would just roll through.
He could make it.
Jesus fit.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus fit rhythmically because it was two syllables. So he changed it over to be Jesus.
Mm.
So what you had here was a guy who was Jewish writing a religious song, which he changed it over because he felt it fit rhythmically and that it would be more marketable, okay? Where did he get the inspiration to write the song? He was watching a preacher named Porter Wagner.
All right.
And he liked his patter, he liked the way he was preaching, and he used some of the wording that Porter Wagner was using. And out the other end came Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky.
Yay.
Like I said, every song has a story, and this is what you get. Here's Norman Greenbaum. Rock School.
Well,
Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky.
Huh?
While it is an intriguing story, I think it's still a big jump.
Yeah, to say every song has a story?
Declare that every song has a story. I'll give you probably 99% of all the songs ever written have a story behind them. You don't think that there's one band that just sat down and put together a bunch of words just 'cause?
That's the story, then.
That's not a story.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Moving along, from 1974, Life is a Rock, But the Radio Rolled Me, Reunion.
Huh?
Okay, the song is Life is a Rock, But the Radio Rolled Me, Reunion. It's a 1974 song by a bunch of studio musicians that called themselves Reunion. Joey Levine wrote a couple songs that you might know, Chewy Chewy and Yummy Yummy Yummy. You ever heard of Yummy Yummy? Yummy
Yummy Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy.
Right,
my
tummy. He's also the lead singer. Now, if you listen to it, just about every hit, singer, songwriter, what have you, is in there. However, right in the middle, he sticks in Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. And when the song came out, he caught a little bit of heck for that. Because people are like, Jack the Ripper? You're putting in a serial killer? How could you do that? It has nothing to do with Jack the Ripper, the guy in London that went around killing women. It has to do with Link Wray's song, Jack the Ripper. Link Wray was a guitarist, and some people believe the first guitarist to use power chords.
Oh, so it's just a tribute to the power chord.
It's a tribute to the power chord. And furthermore, it's not only a tribute to music, it's a tribute to disc jockeys. Some people hear the name in there, Alan Freed, and they might know who Alan Freed is, but the person that immediately follows him is somebody called Murray the K. And if you're in radio, Murray the K is somebody you tried to sound like. So, try to keep up. It's also believed that this is one of the first rap songs ever created. Life is a rock, but the radio rolled me. Every song's got a story. Here's Reunion, Rock School.
BB Bumble and the Stingers, Martha Hooper, Rachel Singers, Lonnie Mack, and Twang, and Eddie Hisman, Ring, we're going steady. Take it easy, take me high, lie, lie, house of fire. No commotion, poker, passion, deep and purple satisfaction. Baby, baby, got it, give me, getting hotter. Sammy's cooking, Leslie Gore, Richie Valens.
What do you think? One of the first rap songs, huh?
That's pretty good.
That's real rapid fire delivery.
You're sitting there with that big grin on your face like you're winning this argument.
I am winning this argument.
Every song from the 70s did have a story behind it.
Oh, what happened in the 80s? We stopped?
Dude, we could sit down and completely dissect American Pie. I mean, he put meanings to every single verse.
Right.
Nowadays, nobody does that anymore.
Oh, you don't think rap songs couldn't be dissected right down to the last word? Of course it can.
I didn't say that they couldn't. I'm just saying a lot of stuff in the 70s had more thought put into it.
Today it's just throwaway bubblegum stuff?
Some of it. I didn't say all of it.
Disposable pop music?
Some of it, yeah.
I don't know. I think it still has some thought to
it. Without getting too far off topic, are you familiar with Kesha?
Yeah, I think she's
horrible. Brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Get it on my toes. Got to put on my clothes. That's stupid. There's no thought that goes into that. Let me come up with some words that rhyme, say them twice, and throw it out there. And they'll play it, and I'll get rich.
But I'll bet there's a story behind it, either the recording of it or the fact that it was done for her. They got to believe it. No way does it get to market without there being a story behind
it. It's not interesting if they just say, I just put it together. So, of course, they're going to make something up. But I guarantee you she didn't sit down and go,
She didn't write it.
Well,
no, not a chance. How about the Sanford Townsend Band, Smoke from a Distant Fire? Dig this. Ed Sanford, as in Sanford Townsend Band, and another guy named Stephen Stewart. Now, he's obviously not in the Sanford Townsend Band name, but he's in the band. Okay? Ed Sanford and Stephen Stewart were living in the same apartment. Stephen Stewart, who was the guitarist at the time, was a classical player.
Okay.
And as classical players do, practiced all the time.
Oh.
Scales.
Y'all do that all the time.
Noodling, scales. The story goes that Ed Sanford in 1974 had a publishing deal with Chapel Music, little weekly stipend, that kind of thing. And Stephen Stewart was basically practicing and practicing and practicing till the wee hours, and Sanford comes down the stairs and says, "Will you shut up? Will you stop this? Why don't you try to write something rather than this classical? Why don't you try to write something that's a hit?" Steven gets angry at him, picks up the guitar, and goes through some really cool R&B type stuff and says, quote, anybody can write that crap. Guess what it was?
What?
It was the rhythm riff that became Smoke from a Distant Fire that went top 10.
Get out of here.
That's the story behind it.
That's a good story.
Picking up the guitar and just saying, well, look, anyone can write this. Well, not anyone did. You did.
You did.
And you just made us a ton of money. Ha ha ha. Sanford Townsend Band, Smoke from a Distant Fire. Right here. Rock School. This is Rock School, as I try to prove to Chad that I believe every song has a story. See, I'm
using bad examples for stuff from the 70s that all does have stories behind it.
Now, see, I believe if you're going to be on the radio, and it's not just because this is a Rock School show and I'm trying to find things that are schooling. It's even when I was doing regular morning radio, I thought it was dumb to just play a song and not do some kind of information about the song. Why are you playing this song? What's the point? Why did you do it? Because it's entertaining? Well, give me some more information. Give me at least the year. Who wrote it? Who's playing a guitar piece on it? Which is why I think I have all this information crammed in my head. When I was doing the show, I had about 4 books laid out in front of me just so when I came back on the air, I could say, you know, that's Jeff Lynne on guitar back there. Just for that.
You know, well, any Joe Blow can get on the radio and say, oh, that was the Monkees, and here's, you know, the Kinks.
Yeah, anyone can do time, temp, and intro.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's bothersome to me. I really think you need a personality to get on there and make it so that not only am I listening to the radio, but I've turned it on to listen to you. Remember Murray the K I talked about earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
People turned it on, and if Murray the K played secondary hits, people still listened because it was Murray the K.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They listened to the real Bob James. They listened to because it was the disc jockey.
I'm in total agreement with you there, Doc. I tell the students here at the radio station all the time, you are the music expert. The people are listening to you because you're the expert. Yeah. Otherwise, they'd come in and do it.
Right. Lead them. When we come back, I'm going to do one for you from Jigsaw. Ever heard of Jigsaw?
The killer or the group?
No, Jigsaw as in the group.
Nope.
You know what?
What?
They may very well have the world record for the song that has stayed on the charts longer than any other group ever.
Okay.
It's just they didn't do it in the United States. And if you don't do it in the United States, it doesn't really matter. And some people don't see it as a record.
Okay,
so
you got my interest.
When we get back, we'll do it. Hello, WBSD. Am I right? Am I correct? Is that the way you feel up in Burlington, Wisconsin?
How about Salamanca, Spain at Radio Universidad? I bet they agree.
Oh, I'm sure they do. They say, sí. And of course, out there on... See, that's my limited Spanish right there. iTunes. They speak all languages on iTunes, but we speak English here. Rock School. Before the break, I decided to talk to you about a group called Jigsaw, and their song is called Sky High.
Mm-hmm.
They are a British pop group formed by a couple of guys named Clive Scott and Des Dreyer. Any chance you've heard of them?
No.
They had a bunch of little minor hits in the 1970s. Their biggest hit, Sky High, was written as a theme song to a movie, ever heard of it, called The Man from Hong Kong.
Let me explain something to you.
No,
I was born in 1980.
Yeah, but you've heard of Led Zeppelin music. That came out before you were born.
They're still playing it.
Well, okay. Sky High gets played every so often. The Man from Hong Kong was, I believe, a picture that was put out in China and became hugely popular in China and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
This song, because of it being the theme song of this movie, stayed on the Japanese chart in the top 10 for, you ready?
Yeah.
3 years.
Top 10.
3 years it stayed there. Can you even fathom a song staying in the top 40 or the top 100 in the United States for 3 years?
Oh, no, I'd be sick of it.
Yeah, well, it did in the Japanese chart 3 years and sold 13 million copies worldwide, and you've never heard of it.
Mm-mm.
It's just that it didn't do it here. Every song's got a story. Here's Jigsaw, Sky High, Rock School. Okay. Chad continues to fight with me off mic about every song having a story. What you're saying is that I am using my own picks to prove that every song has a story. Like, this pen keeps away elephants.
Right.
See, this pen is in the room. Do you see any elephants?
That's exactly what you're proving.
This pen keeps away elephants.
I'll go one for you, though.
Okay.
I'll agree that every song does have a story, you know, to some degree. I wrote a song about my dead dog. But that's basically it. I had a dog. I loved the dog. The dog died. I wrote a song about it.
But you're downplaying the fact that you had a dog and you got rid of it. You tell the dog's name. You tell a couple stories about the dog. Now, all of a sudden, you've enveloped this huge, or you've developed this huge story about the dog.
I don't have to, though. I don't have to. I can simply say my dog died and I wrote a song about him. There's a story. I wrote a song about my dead dog.
Yes, you have, but you tell more of the story of your dog.
I don't have to.
Come on.
No, I'm not Scott Stapp. I don't have to tell you all kind of stories about the dog. I think some of these stories are just so exaggerated because they want people like us to sit down and argue about it or to tell the story. Oh, the story behind this song, you got 5 minutes? Let me tell you.
Well, that's half the fun. This is entertainment. I mean, this stuff is not meant to be high-end academics. It's just meant to be fun.
No, actually, we have to change the format of the show to high-end academics.
Oh, gosh, I hope not, because I don't know very many big words. So a guy named Billy Swan had a big hit called I Can Help.
Mm-hmm.
You might know Billy Swan because he wrote Clyde McFatter's 1962 hit, Lover Please. Lover Please, please come back. Don't take your brain never across the tracks. You know the song?
I do.
Okay. He also went on, Billy Swan, went on to write a whole bunch of country songs, like for Kris Kristofferson and some for Rita Coolidge. As a thank you, Kris Kristofferson and Rita Coolidge bought Billy Swan a little organ as a wedding present when he got married. Little RMI organ. He started fiddling around on it, and literally, at the first time sitting down on it, he came up with this little riff on the organ, and the riff on the chorus became I Can Help. Literally appeared the first time he sat down and played on the organ.
That's a cool story.
When he recorded the song I Can Help, he used to have a dog that would play around with him.
I told you that was a dog.
Yeah. He used to have a dog. While he was recording it, the dog wouldn't stop biting at his leg. And as he was recording it, the last chorus, you'll hear him come off of the mic a little bit like this.
Yeah.
It was because the dog was pulling at him. And as they finished rolling the tape, there was applause in the room because he finished the singing take. There's the story behind Billy Swan, I Can Help.
I can make the song better. Lock the dog up!
And it sounds like this. Rock School. All right, welcome to the bottom of the hour. There you go. It's Billy Swan, and Jed continues to fight with me.
No, it's a good story, dude.
See, is it? All right, now, look, after the break, after we do 7 days and 70 seconds, I'm going to do a very quick one, and one of the reasons I'm playing it is because it is one of my favorite songs, and the whole concept of the song is the fact that it mentions a park.
Uh-huh.
And you just very quickly say who wrote the song, why they wrote the song, and it's one of those that a park is mentioned in it. Mm-hmm. And the story behind it is that a real park? Yes. And I tell you where the park is. And that's basically the concept.
Yeah.
It's named after a real place.
Okay.
So after we do this, I'll tell you where it is. It's not a major long story. It's just that neat piece of trivia that, oh, hey, this place exists.
Well, good. You just proved my point from earlier.
What, that's, that it's not it, a full story? That
right.
It's just a bit of... But it's enough of a story. It's just, at least, it's more than just, I played this song because I like it. There's at least factual information behind it.
Cool deal.
All right, good enough. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
And yonder we go. 7 days, 70 seconds. Monday, July 12th through Sunday, July 18th. Go, man.
All right, Monday, July 12th, 35 years ago in 1975, Casey and the Sunshine Band cracked the charts for the first time with Get Down Tonight. And I'm sure Doc knows the story behind that song.
Probably. 25 years ago in 1985, Tuesday, July 13th, in front of a worldwide audience of 400 million, Bob Geldof inspired the concert Live Aid that takes place at Wembley Stadium, London, and JFK Stadium, Philadelphia.
July 14th in 1995, following a lengthy dispute with Sony Records, George Michael was released from his recording contract, but he said they'd take him back because he got paid.
Yeah. Thursday, July 15th, 30 years ago, 1980, singer Linda Ronstadt makes her stage debut at the New York Shakespearean Festival held at Central Park in The Pirates of Penzance.
July 16th in 1995, popular year, Irish singer-songwriter Sinead O'Connor withdraws from Lollapalooza because she was pregnant.
Yeah. Saturday, July 17th, 35 years ago, 1975, Beatles Ringo Starr divorces his wife of 10 years, Maureen Cox, and then on Sunday, July 18th, 40 years ago in 1970, both Pink Floyd and Deep Purple are on the bill and play for free at a concert in London's Hyde Park. Now, promised you one of my favorites. This is Cherry Hill Park by Billy Joe Royal. It was written by two guys, Robert Nix and Billy Gilmore. It's based on, loosely, based on a young lady they knew that was sort of the beauty of the day.
Okay.
Sort of that one girl that was untouchable.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they called it Cherry Hill Park. And it's one of those when you listen to it and you think, well, you know, does that exist? It sure does. Cherry Hill Park is located just outside of Washington, D.C. And see, when I was disc jockeying, that's the kind of stuff I would do. Does Cherry Hill Park exist? Yep. You can still go there, and there's a big sign, Cherry Hill Park. So if you like the song, there it is. Cherry Hill Park. It's Billy Joe Royal. Rock School.
Mary Hill used to hang out in Cherry Hill Park. The game she played lasted all day.
Cherry Hill Park. One of my favorites, that's Billy Joe Royal in Cherry Hill Park. Love that song. All right, and when I got another one that had a much longer story to it, just to sort of appease you.
Why is that appeasing me?
You know, because you felt that you sort of won a small victory on that one because it didn't have a longer story to it. Are you familiar with Brandy, You're a Fine Girl by The Looking Glass?
No.
Okay, well, I think you have heard it before, but Brandy is actually in a small sort of fraternity of songs that was not on the A side of the 45.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the hit.
Mm-hmm.
And when the disc jockeys got a hold of it, they went, I don't like this, flip it over. Oh, hey, this B-side ain't bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually the B-side of a song called Don't It Make You Feel Good. And what happened was a disc jockey in Washington, D.C. called Harve Moore flipped it over and started to play Brandy instead.
Got
now,
it.
That's enough of a story right there. However, are you familiar with the song by Barry Manilow called Mandy?
Yes.
That song was originally called Brandy.
Oh, cool.
However, this song was so popular at the time that he re-recorded it as Mandy.
Mandy.
To get rid of it. Here's the real concern over it. Have you ever heard of a group becoming so popular that they sort of blow themselves apart?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The one-hit wonder story?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of happened to the Looking Glass off of this song. Remember when Extreme came out?
Yep.
That's what they were expecting. Uh-huh. More than words.
Yeah.
And then they saw this explosion of a rock band. Whoa, what's this?
Right, right.
Same thing happened to the Looking Glass. They were a rock band. I mean a rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got there, people are expecting to hear this sort of adult contemporary, Brandy does her best to understand. Whoa. And all of a sudden, this explosion is coming out.
Sure.
And what happened was they just simply couldn't stop disappointing crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years after their hit, it exploded them. Mm-hmm. And it ended it right there. So that's the story behind Brandy, the Looking Glass.
That's a shame, man, when your hit kills you.
It does, yeah. Looking Glass, Rock School.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl. What a good wife you would be.
All right, I'm looking down my list of songs that I brought 19 of them with me.
19
yeah,
stories.
I know. So I'm looking down to make sure I get the thickest stories here just to appease you. Because
appease me.
You seem to be really on me today.
Huh?
You know, I mean, you really seem to be looking for a way to, you know, got him. So,
do you honestly think that this show would be half as entertaining as it is if I just sat down and went, whoa, I agree with everything you say, Doug?
Make my life a lot easier.
Well,
it
I'm
certainly
not here
would.
To make your life easy.
Why not? Isn't that in a contract somewhere? Didn't we sign something? Hello, KLSU. Write to Chad and tell him to make my life a lot easier.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, a city full of people that disagree with you.
Gosh, I hope so. When we get back, we're going to do one from the Raiders. Not Paul Revere and the Raiders. At this point, they were just the Raiders. Tell you a good story about a song that they recorded. In a minute, Rock School. All right, let's do a little bit of correcting here. A lot of people think this song is by Paul Revere and the Raiders. It's just by the Raiders.
Minus Paul Revere? They didn't have him yet?
No, there really was no Paul Revere. Mark Lindsay was kind of like Paul Revere.
Okay.
Well, it's just like there's no real Jethro Tull in Jethro Tull. It was just a name.
Oh,
it was
put I got you. Okay. All right.
A lot of people also think the name of this song is Cherokee People, because that's what they scream in the chorus.
I guess it's not.
No. The name of the song is Indian Reservation, The Lament of the Cherokee Reservation Indian.
All that?
How's that for a top 40 tune? Yeah, that makes you scream, I want to get the 45. The song is about the plight of the Cherokee Indians, who in 1791 were taken away from their home in Georgia and sent to a reservation in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Again, let's put a top 40 song together about this. Mark Lindsay, who was the front man of the Raiders, decided, I am part Native American.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put this to record. Great.
Fair enough.
Because of this, people who know this fact decided it's got to be Mark Lindsay singing lead. Wrong.
Who is it?
The guitarist, Freddie Weller, is actually singing the lead.
All right.
Okay, why didn't Lindsay sing the lead? Because he wanted complete control over the single, and he went ahead and just produced the single.
Well, if he wanted complete control and he produced, then he had the say-so of who was going to sing it. So why didn't he just sing it?
You got me. He just wanted to produce it and did not sing it.
All right.
Handed it over. Furthermore, the song was recorded back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
However, the end of the song says, you know, give it back, give the land back. Prophetic. The Eastern and Western bands of the Cherokee Nation became one on April 6, 1984, when the tribes officially reunited at the Red Clay Council grounds, which is now outside of Cleveland, Tennessee.
Oh, nice.
So there, that's the story behind that one. And here you go. The Raiders, Indian Reservation, The Lament of the Cherokee Reservation Indian. It's even hard to introduce on the radio. Rock School. All right, we're doing songs today from my collection that I got off of eBay, the 70s Have a Nice Day. I mean, I got it for nothing. I mean nothing. It was fantastic. And I put it all on my iPod, and the iPod went, because I mean, I probably put on 300 songs in one fell swoop.
Sweet.
Let's do this one. My Belle Ami by the T-Set. The T-Set. Ring a bell?
No.
Who was the T-Set before they became a massive group? Anybody?
I'll say again. No.
Pink Floyd.
What?
Pink Floyd was the tea set before they became Pink Floyd.
You're well, lying.
I lie to you not. This group has nothing to do with Pink Floyd, but it's interesting that they now call themselves the tea set. Before they became Pink Floyd, their nickname was the tea set.
So after Pink Floyd became Pink Floyd, the tea set name was available.
Oh, and they guys, took it.
They took it.
They took it.
Maybe they were inspired by Pink Floyd.
Could be.
Are the genres of music similar?
They're not terribly opposite, but you're not going to hear a lot of Floyd influence in this one.
Okay.
This one was recorded in 1969. Why is it in this 70s thing? Because it didn't hit in America till 1970. Mm. It's a Dutch quartet that are from Holland. It's my bad Holland imitation. And it's just a pleasant piece of, you know, pop, rock, music, that kind of thing, issued in Holland, where it sold only about 100,000 copies and didn't do much until somebody said, let's try it in America. Boom!
Wow.
It exploded, shot to number 5 on the U.S. chart, and remained there for 10 weeks.
Don't you hate it when you can't get something to take off in your own country?
Me too.
You can take it somewhere else. No end.
Right. I'm huge in London.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just can't get anything here.
I'm a god in Thailand.
You betcha. Yeah, I've seen you. You got multiple arms. You're standing on one foot.
I can't catch a break over here.
Yeah. In case you're wondering, the title translates My Belle and Me to My Beautiful Girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the French part translates to After All These Beautiful Days, I Tell You I Thank You, I Thank You, I Thank You. So we have a Dutch quintet who can't hit in their own country, who hits in America, who records in French. Okay?
That's a good story.
Fantastic. My Belle and Me. Rock School.
My Belle and Me. You were a child of the sun and the sky and the deep blue sea. My Belle and Me.
This is Rock School, and we got time for one more. I got 19 songs. You've seen what we've played. I sent you the playlist.
Yeah.
What do you want to hear? What do you want to finish on? We got time for one more.
Kung Fu Fighting.
Kung Fu. Really?
Yes. You know why?
You mean you won't even want to finish on Gimme That Ding?
No.
No. Okay. Kung Fu. Why Kung Fu Fighting?
It's the only one I know.
Really? Of this whole list, that's the only one you know?
Yes.
You don't know Me and You and a Dog Named Boo?
No, and I don't know the boy named Sue either.
Traveling and a Living Off the Land?
No, dude.
Oh, okay. Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas.
I think it's a cool story, too.
Okay, who, by the way, does not know Kung Fu.
Huh?
He does not know Kung Fu.
You don't have to know Kung Fu to write a song about Kung Fu.
All right, here's the deal. Carl Douglas was a session singer for Pye Records, P-Y-E.
Yes.
Known as a sort of a pop and soul type play. And he was writing songs and singing backup and doing that. And he got the idea for the song when he was in London watching a couple kids doing kung fu moves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just standing around, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they were letting, they were letting go of that, the kia, the that kind of stuff. My son's taking kung fu now and he's doing that scream all over the place.
That's awesome.
Don't hit your sister is what I keep saying. So, all right. He, Carl Douglas, was in the studio recording, again, the A side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a B side that hit. The A side. It's called I Want to Give You My Everything. Ever heard it?
No.
They spent close to 2.5 hours recording I Want to Give You My Everything. I've never heard of it.
I don't want your everything. I just want kung fu.
You got it. They took a break.
Uh-huh.
And he laid down the tracks, knew what the stuff was, and told the people, apparently it's very simple music, told the people what to do, and they recorded it twice. Took the first take. Took the first take of the whole thing. There was only one overdubbing, and that was the huah, huah, bruh. That's it.
Well, that's what makes the song.
The who's and the ha's were the only overtake in the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, two takes. The song's, how long is it? Where, let me tell you, Kung Fu Fighting is 3 minutes and 19 seconds. So, it took them a grand total of, with running the tape back and all that, 15 minutes?
Right.
Maybe? And it was a hit.
You know what?
In one shot.
There is such a thing as putting too much thought into something.
Yep.
Make it simple.
Lightning in a bottle, man.
Right, right.
So here you go. Carl Douglas, Kung Fu Fighting, and that wraps it up.
Woo!
Do you believe me? Every song has a story?
Now I do.
I don't think you do. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
All right, class is dismissed.
Everybody was Kung Fu.